Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 16. We will chant text 12 and then read through text 14. Agnayo Titayo Britya Bhikshavo Yecha Lipshavaha Sarvam Bhagavato Brahman Anudhyanam na vishyate agnayo titayo britya bhikshavo ye chalipshavaha sarvam bhagavato brahman anudhyanam na vishyate. Worshipping the fires. Atithaya, receiving the guests. Brityaha, satisfying the servants. Bhikshavaha, pleasing the beggars. Yea, all of them who? Cha, and Lipshavaha, as they desire, are taken care of. Sarvam, all of them. Bhagavata, of you, O my Lord. Brahman, O Brahmana. Anudyanat, you from always thinking. Narishyati, nothing is missed. Everything is properly done. Translation, O beloved husband, the fires, guests, servants, and beggars are all being properly cared for by me. Because I always think of you, there is no possibility that any of the religious principles will be neglected. Text 13, Ko nu me bhagavan kamo na sampadyeta manasaha yasya bhavan prajadyaksha evam dharman prabhashate. O my Lord, since you are a Prajapati and are personally my instructor in the principles of religion, where is the possibility that all my desires will not be fulfilled? Text 14. Tavaiva maricha mana shariraja praja ima sattvarajas tamojasaha samo bhavams tasvara dishu prabho Tathapi bhaktam vajate maheshvaraha. Translation, O son of Marichi, because you are a great personality, you are equal towards all the demons and demigods who are born either from your body or from your mind and who possess one or another of the three qualities, satagun, rajagun, or tamagun. But although the supreme personality of Godhead, the supreme controller, is equal toward all living entities, he is especially favorable to the devotees. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 9.29, the Lord says, Samaham sarva bhuteshu name dvesosti napriyaha yem bhajanti tamam bhaktya mahite teshu chapiyaham. Although the supreme personality of Godhead is equal toward everyone, he is especially inclined towards those who engage in his devotional service. The Lord says, Kunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. My dear son of Kunti, please declare that my devotee will never be vanquished. Ye yathamam prapadyante tamsitaiva bhajami aham. Mamavart marnavartante manusya parata sarvashaha. Actually, everyone is trying to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead in various ways. but according to their methods of approach, the Supreme Lord endows them with different benedictions. Thus Aditi appealed to her husband by saying that since even the Supreme Controller favors his devotees, and since Indra, Kashyapa's devoted son, was in difficulty, Kashyapa should bestow his favor upon Indra. These verses are spoken by Devarani, Aditi Mataji, the mother of the demigods. She is replying to her husband Kashyapa, who sees that she is in a forlorn condition and has inquired from her as to the cause. He asked her, is it because you neglected some duties that you are feeling despondent? We all have that experience. If we feel that we are negligent in some way, we feel somewhat guilty or upset, and so we become forlorn. So he is studying her mind to see what it is that is the cause of her despondency. She immediately replies, no, I have done all of these duties. What are they? I have seen that the sacrificial fire is always ignited. We had experience of this in Calcutta. We went to the home of one well-to-do family, very pious Vaishnava family, and we were celebrating their Julan Yatra, and they took me to the part of the house where they kept the sacrificial fire burning, and they told me that this fire has been burning for 4 generations. And it never has been allowed to go up. So people used to do like this, offering oblations into the fire, not only for the well-being, not only of their own immediate family, but forefathers and future generations as well. It was a way of doing yajna. And there are other things also which one must do as a householder. For example, to honor guests. Srila Prabhupada gave the point that even if one is an enemy, he should be so nicely received that he feels welcome in the home. And at least being offered, every guest should be offered some water and a place to sit. Servants are to be treated how? Just like one's own children. That's the injunction. And we have seen that also in India. People would look after their servants so nicely that the servants feel as if the persons who are they are serving are just like their own parents. In every respect, they would look after them. Their fooding, their clothing, their family, the marriages of their sons or daughters. Completely, all responsibilities were looked after by the master. Of course, nowadays it has become such a costly affair to keep a servant. And furthermore, because of liberation, no one even wants to call their servant a servant, and they call them helpers. Helpers, or in fact, one person I visited the home of recently referred to her servant as my savior. So the situation has become practically reversed, that it used to be the master would save the servant, now the servant is saving the master. So then beggars, we have experience with Srila Prabhupada on the at Kumbh Mela, Magh Mela, in 1971, we went to Allahabad with Prabhupada. So at this place, there were so many beggars who all come there, and Prabhupada instructed us how to look after the beggars. He said, anyone who begs by sitting in one place, you must give them something. He said, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also used to give. Prabhupada had us take the small coins from the Purnami box, from the donation box, and give every beggar at least one coin. But Prabhupada said, if anybody came at us to approach us, he said, don't give that person. So somehow, I guess, beggars have to learn the principle of humility. One of the principles is they're in a humbled position. So being in a humbled position, they may beg like this. And the Lord will provide them. This is one of the ways of Krishna looking after everyone. Even if someone wants to beg, all right, they may beg, but then they have to live very simply. And a householder is meant to look after all persons. The real point here is that a householder is so responsible. How does a householder make advancement traditionally? By giving in charity. This is the dharma of the householder. Main dharma is to give in charity. Now, in the transcendental aspect of Krishna consciousness, we know that all of the ashrams are ultimately meant for spiritual advancement. But each and all of them have to do common activities. For example, sadhana bhakti is basic to all. To get up early, to take bath, to chant one's rounds, to worship the deities, to perform sankirtan yajna, this is meant for all four ashrams. But still, within each ashram, there are specific responsibilities. And just like a brahmachari, what is a brahmachari's special responsibility? Bhakti Reggie. Okay, that is very close to a good answer. Now, Bhakti One, let's see if you can fulfill it. What did you say? Rendering services. All right, so those are two things one should do to the teacher. You, first of all, should obey the teacher or guru. You should render service to the teacher or guru. And why are you doing this? Get to the real point. Yes, the real responsibility of a brahmachari is to learn the scriptures. And therefore, in reciprocation for that, he is obedient in order to learn, and he renders service as a reciprocation. So the main duty of a brahmachari is to hear properly the Vedic scriptures, to learn them very nicely. Why? So that he can be of proper attitude in all of the remaining ashrams, whatever he shall go through. If he gets married or if he becomes directly a sannyas, everything will have developed properly from that initial learning period. So what is the responsibility specifically of the householders? To give in charity, yes. And charity should be given to the proper person in the proper place at the proper time. You can read about this in the 17th chapter, I believe, of Bhagavad Gita. It explains, is it 17th or 18th chapter? 17th, I think. Yeah. Especially 17th chapter. Modes of material nature explained. And acts of charity have to be given. Who is the proper person? The proper person is the representative of the Lord, a Vaishnav. What is the proper place? Any place, if you find such a person. What is the proper time? Any time. Because devotional service is unconditional. The only condition of devotional service is that it should be pure. Ahoituki bhakti should be done. So, she says, this has all been done. All the duties have been done nicely. Then what is the problem? She says, oh my Lord, you are a prajapati. What does a prajapati mean? A progenitor of mankind. That means that there were some original sons of Brahma, and they were entrusted with populating the universe. At the time of universal creation, the universe was empty of population. Does it mean that there were no living entities? Were the living entities to be created out of the air? No. They were all there. Where were the living entities? They were within the body of Garbhadakshay Vishnu. Just like a woman keeps a baby in her womb. Similarly, Garbhadakshay Vishnu was like the, father and mother combined. Everything was within him. All the living entities, we, were all living within Mahavishnu's body. And so he looked within his abdomen. He glanced there, and from that glance, it agitated the karma of the living entities. Because you're not born with nothing. You are born with the karma from your past birth. Or in this case, from the past universal creation. And so, what happens? The Lord, who is the super soul, within your heart, at the right time will remind you of what your past unfulfilled desires were. First of all, you have to take birth. So in order to Give the living entities a chance to fulfill their karma. Why does the Lord want to do that? Why does the Lord want to give the chance to the living entities to fulfill their karma? For what purpose? So that they can what?
To fulfill their desires.
To do what?
Reform themselves.
And then, the last, go back to Godhead. The whole purpose of it is to allow you to get free from these desires so that you can go back to home, back to Godhead, and join the Supreme Lord. So, Brahma is the first created being. He's the first being that takes birth, and he produces some sons who are responsible and trusted with populating the whole universe. And Kasyapa Muni is one such person. And it mentions here that so many have taken birth from you. Both demons and demigods have been born from your body or from your mind, and who possess one or another of the three qualities. So, first of all, she says, you are personally my instructor. She has such an important instructor. Here, her husband is her guru, and he's an extremely qualified guru, being the son of Brahma. And you know, you are an instructor in the principles of religion. Where is the possibility that my desires will not be fulfilled? Very good point. If one has a guru knows how to extricate the disciple from the entanglement of the modes of material nature. Everyone is born in some combination of the modes of material nature. To take birth in this material world means only that. If you are not affected by the modes of material nature, we would not have taken birth here. So sattva-gun, raja-gun, tamagun. Each one of us is born with a different conditioning. Why? Based upon our previous consciousness, our karma. Our karma dictates that we be born with more passion or more ignorance or more goodness in order to facilitate the fulfillment of our desires. Now, what does this all mean? For the living entity, it means this is all very external. For the spirit soul, this is very external. Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna to convince Arjuna, you're not this body. That this whole situation that you have taken birth with, this particular body and mind conditioned by goodness, passion, and ignorance, is very external to the soul. And how does Arjuna become convinced of this? Through transcendental knowledge. Bhagavad Gita is giving Arjuna transcendental knowledge. Chapter after chapter after chapter. Who are you? Who is God? How have we come in this world? Why have we come in this world? How do we become bound up in this world? And ultimately the knowledge of how to become liberated. And Krishna teaches Arjuna that by doing your duty, you'll become extricated. You'll get this knowledge. The knowledge will become realized by doing duty. Simply studying will not give one realization. A position of a jnani, therefore, is not considered to be stable. Because his knowledge is intellectual. It's not fully realized. Only when one applies the teachings do we get to a position of stability and strength. Therefore, we see a humble person, even though he may not be so apparently academically qualified or intellectual, if he's properly engaged under the order of guru, his position is very strong and firm. But someone else may be extremely learned, but may not be able to get free from false ego, from pride. We see big persons, just like Durvasa Muni, big person, very highly qualified. But what happened? He offended Maharaj Ambarish. Why? There was some ego. But Maharaj Ambarish, who was a householder, a king, he was fixed. Even at the risk of being cursed to death, not disturbed at all. This is the position of a devotee. A devotee is in such a good position. Prabhupada quotes the verse that Konteya Pajajani Mihi Name Bhakta Pranashati. Declare it boldly. My devotee shall never be vanquished. Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma Sachvas Chantim Dagachate Konteya Pajajani Hi Name Bhakta Pranashati. You can declare it, Arjuna, my devotee will never be defeated. So, now, she is saying here, and we see in Bhagavad Gita, that so many different persons have desires. You see in 4th chapter of the Gita how Krishna says different types of persons do various types of sacrifices. Some perform austerities. Some worship the demigods. Some cultivate knowledge. Yeyathamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajami aham. Everyone follows my path in all respects. And Krishna says that he reciprocates accordingly. The demons get what they want. The gyanis get what they want, the karmis get what they want, the yogis get what they want, and my devotee gets what? Me. This is the difference. So we have to see what it is that we're exchanging with Krishna. What desires lie within our heart that we're offering to Krishna? This has to be seen. Because according to what you offer to Krishna, the sincerity of the offering, that is what you're going to get in return. Now Krishna says, Tesham satatagyuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadhami buddha yogam tam yenamamukpayanti te. Those who worship me in my transcendental feature, I give them dadhami buddhi. Dadhami buddhi yoga. What does buddhi mean? Intelligence. I give them that intelligence by which they can approach me. Krishna is within the heart as a supersoul. But he also appears before us in the form of the spiritual master. The instructing guru, the initiating guru, are the manifestations of Krishna and are all doing the business of enlightening the devotee. Krishna explains, Tesham evanukam partham aham agyana jamtamaha. Agyana jamtamaha. The darkness of ignorance. I illuminate the darkness of ignorance. How? Nashayami atma bhavashto jnana dipena bhashrataha, with the knowledge, the torchlight of knowledge. So knowledge is important. Why do we sit here day after day to hear Bhagavatam class? Why are we enjoying to study the scriptures? So that we can burn away the darkness of ignorance. And knowledge, transcendental knowledge, is required. So one has to master this science. So that one can get free from all kinds of impurities within the heart, which are stopping us from praying purely to Krishna. We would desire to become famous devotee or to be respected, well respected. We desire comfortable life. We don't want things to be too difficult for ourselves. So many material desires we have. Attachments to family, friendship, and society. And all of these things are making it very difficult. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has made some very nice prayers. And he says, when will the time come when my only interest will be to live in Vrindavan? He says, when will that time come? Because Vrindavan is such an auspicious place. You see, such an auspicious place. Prabodhananda Saraswati has offered his respectful obeisances. Raghunath Das Goswami has offered his respectful obeisances to all the insignificant creatures of Vrindavan. When will that time come when I will run to Vrindavan, Prabodhananda Saraswati says, not concerned anymore with all material affairs of life? Now we think we have so much to do. We have to look after our family, we have to look after our jobs, our business, so many things. And actually we have to do these things. Krishna tells Arjuna, because Arjuna was proposing, I want to go up to Vrindavan. He said, not yet. Actually, Arjuna was ready. Not exactly, but he was ready at least to go back to the spiritual world. Even he cannot so easily run into Vrindavan. But Krishna wanted Arjuna to be in the position of one of us, who are conditioned. So he said, you're not ready yet. If you renounce, what did he tell Arjuna? If you renounce prematurely, you'll still be bound by your nature to act in a certain way. You try to act as if you're very detached, but if the desires are still within the heart, you'll be pulled down. There's that nice, I read one, Satsarupa Maharaj gave me a very nice drama, which a short story written by Tolstoy. about this Father Sergius, you see. He was a Christian priest, very, very, very renounced, you know. And he became famous. He became so famous, in fact, that he got powers, mystical powers. And one time he was living in a, you know, far away in a mountain retreat. And some tourists came and they knew he was there. So one of the ladies said, "Let me stay here. I'll stay overnight and pray to him for some special boons." So it was a snowstorm. She took shelter in his lodge and he was all alone with this woman, right? He's become a very famous, renounced monk. And lust came in his heart. And he was so determined to break that lust that eventually, what did he do? He chopped off his finger. He went into the next room and chopped his finger off, his thumb or something, just to bring him to his senses. But still, you could see, even though he was so renounced and had seemingly controlled and gotten mystic powers, desire loomed up in his heart. Later on, as a result of this, he became even more famous. And fame followed him. And one day, this man came with a very hopeless case. His daughter, who was like a mentally retarded girl, right? And he begged, "No one has been able to cure her. Please, you try to cure her." So somehow, she stayed there, and this renounced monk fell down with her. The next day, he left early in the morning and went away. And of course, Tolstoy was a communist, so then he makes a communist propaganda at the end, that he, you know, he became a nothing and he went, became a commoner and mixed with the general public and became one of the people. But the point is that was not the real point we could take out of the story, was that even at the very end, the lust was still there in the heart. In other words, he had not succeeded in purifying his heart. So we have to find the proper formula. Each person, under the guidance of Guru, has to find the proper formula for him or himself or herself so that they can get free from all of these material desires. Otherwise, the result will be we must take birth again in this material world. And we have to go through this all over again. Just imagine living in Dallas again. At least by then the whole project will be built. We'll be able to finally get the results, you see. Someone may be so attached to this situation, they worked so hard, they think, "I want to take birth again so I can be born when there'll be no more financial problems and everybody in Dallas will be wearing tilak." You see. But actually, we don't have such desire like that. We want to be able to serve Krishna very, very purely. So, now the point here now is made that Aditi is saying, look, she says, the Lord is equal to all. We know Prabhupada quotes this verse, samaham sarva bhuteshu name dvesho stinapiyaha, however, ye bhajanti atumam bhaktya maite teshu chapiyaham. I'm equal to all, no one is my friend, no one is my enemy, however, Krishna says, however, ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya maite teshu chapiyaham. However, those who surrender unto me, I take them as my own and I bring them to me. You see. So, although it appears that the Lord is equal to all, no. Sadavo ridayam mayam sadunam ridayam to aham maranyate na jananti naham tebyo manag api. Krishna says that within the heart of my pure devotee, I am seated. And then within my heart, my pure devotee is seated. And we are bound very closely in a very strong compact of love. So although it seems that God is equal to all, he's not. This question was raised by Janmanjoy. His mother, Uttara. Uttara is the mother of Parikshit. Uttara is the mother of Parikshit, yes. So the grand, okay, so Uttara is the mother of Parikshit, and Parikshit's son is his mother. And then Parikshit spoke. Now the question, it was between Parikshit and his mother Uttara. So Uttara requested Parikshit Maharaj that we see that the Lord says in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, kama dveshad bayat snehad yato bhakteshvaro manaha aveshatad agam hitva bhavas tad katin gataha. that different types of people are given liberation, kama, by lust, dvesha. Different examples are given here. Dvesha, or hatred, vaya, from fear, sneha, from affection, as well as bhakti, by devotion. Now, who are these different persons? Kamat means the gopis. They had transcendental lust. Dvesha, who is hatred? Who had hatred for Krishna? No. Shishupal. Baya, who had fear of Krishna? Kams. And Sneyat, who had affection? Okay. Huh? No. No. Snehat means the parents of Krishna. And then devotion, Narad Muni. All of these persons were liberated. So Uttara asked the question, if they're all liberated, then what? I can't imagine that they all got the same type of liberation. Actually, she wanted to glorify the position of the Brijbasis. Because she knew something. The people in Dwarka and Mathura, they get to hear about the Brijbasis. And they get to understand, especially from Rohini Devi, the mother of Balaram. Balaram was, of course, in Vrindavan. Balaram's mother, Rohini, was sent by Vasudev to take shelter of Nanda and Yasoda's home. And so Balaram and his mother lived there. And later on, they returned to Dwarka. So all the queens of Krishna used to ask Rohini, tell us about Vrindavan. And she would glorify Vrindavan. So we have to, therefore, think that Uttara also got to hear all the glories of the Brijbasis. And she could therefore understand something is special about the kind of liberation which the gopis get as opposed to all others, or which the cowherd boys get, or as Yasoda and Nanda get. And certainly it is very special. Actually, although it says that God is neutral and equal to all, He's only neutral in regard to giving reactions in the material world. In other words, He is detached. When it says that Krishna is detached, right? What is it speaking about? It's speaking about in regard to affairs of this material world, He's detached. Whether you do good, whether you do bad, punya or pap, He's detached. Because He has His judge, Yamaraj, who will look at this. But otherwise, in terms of the affairs of the spiritual world, is Krishna detached? No, He is very attached, isn't He? As soon as Yasoda puts Him down, what does He start doing? Crying. Why did you let me go like this? And He starts breaking butter pots and creating so much havoc. He's very attached. He is most attached on every level. He has all His cowherd friends who are always playing with Him. Right? And He reciprocates with each one of them in a certain way. He has His gopis who are very much attached to Him, and He's equally very much attached to them. So He's not neutral at all. And He deals with each one of them in different ways. You see? Even amongst His friends, He has special friends. Even amongst the gopis, He has special gopis. Just like His feelings for Radharani are beyond everyone else's. Each one of the gopis has their special place. The most important gopis have their kuns. So each one of them wants to draw Krishna there. Especially there are two camps, Radharani's camp and her rival Chandravali's camp. And they each try to draw Krishna. And when Krishna goes to Chandravali, Radharani's friends will try to bring him to Radharani. Just like one time he was with Chandravali and her friends, and immediately Lalita ordered Vishakha, you go and bring him here. This is very bad. Bring him. Radharani is lamenting that she cannot be with him. So Vishakha went there, and what did she do? She said, a great demon has entered Vrindavan. A terrible demon has entered Vrindavan, and he's starting to kill your cows and capture, and not kill them, but capture your cows and bring them into the Goshala of Kamsa. So he's stealing your cows. So Krishna told Chandrakala, you just wait, I'm coming right back, and I will immediately take care of this demon. And as soon as they got out of their that area of the grudge, then Vishakha said, actually, this is the real fact. Radharani is waiting for you. And then they went to Radharani. So although it may seem that the Lord is equal to all, we actually see that he has so much favoritism towards, according to what? According to the degree of love. This is, he is equal in the sense that he will reciprocate without favoritism, but it's based upon love. And what will bring out that love within the devotee? The service that the devotee renders. It is all based upon the activities of service. So we have to see how the Lord will give his benediction. Prahlad Maharaj has prayed that if I can have a benediction from you, my dear Krishna, then I pray for the benediction that you free me from all material desires. Why? Because when I'm freed from all material desires, Indranil, you wait a few more minutes. Hey, Haribo, just wait a few more minutes. Don't leave yet. If the Lord frees us from all material desires, then actually we will get a taste for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. With these material desires. So Prahlad Maharaj is very smart. He recites a prayer. Yadi dasyasi me kamam varam tvam varasar dasapa. Kamanam hridi asamroham bhavatastu vrinani varam. He says that, O best of givers of benediction, if you would all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your lordship that within the core of my heart there are no material desires. This is the benediction he prays. Just like we heard Bhrigupati Prabhu gave a class on Sankirtan the other day, and as long as there is some anartha and nibriti, then it is very hard to engage in Sankirtan Yajna. Now, the gopis, they have no problem, no difficulty to engage fully in the service of Krishna. Why? Because they have no material desires. They have given up all other considerations. So unless a devotee is brought to that point, it is very, very difficult to render pure devotional service. Therefore, Raghunath Das Goswami is praying to everyone in Vrindavan for that blessing. Because it is mentioned, Satam Prasangam Amavirya Samvido Bhavanti Rit Karna Rasayana Kataha Taj Joshana Rasvaparaga Vartmani Shradhar Ratir Bhaktir Anukramishati. How do we get bhakti? In the association of pure devotees, discussions of the pastimes on the activities of the Supreme Lord is very pleasing and satisfying to the heart. And by cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced in the path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed from his attraction for lust, and he becomes fixed. Then real devotional service to the Lord begins. Bhakti begins when the desires in the material heart are completely destroyed. And how does this happen? By hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord from the pure devotees. So we want to associate with devotees who are always engaged in this constant discussion of Krishna, hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, discussing Krishna's glories. This is the activities of liberated souls. And by hearing their discussions, we become attracted. Just like we hear, for example, how all the living entities of Vrindavan are serving Krishna. Every living entity is worthy of our respect. Even the most insignificant living entity. Just like, what is the most, which type of living entity is most detestable? That even a Vaishnava becomes pleased. A serpent or a snake. Even a Vaishnava becomes pleased seeing a snake killed. But what about in Vrindavan? Have the snakes got opportunity for serving Krishna? How? Huh? Says they remind us of Radharani's braids. What other serpents? Kaliya. Is there any other way?
If a snake comes, then Radharani has the opportunity to take shelter.
Ah, yes. Sometimes Radharani becomes so angry that Krishna cannot figure out how to break her transcendental anger. She makes this anger in such a way because it attracts Krishna more. And Krishna cannot find a way to break her anger. But what does he do? He takes the help of a snake. She leaves Krishna, walks away, and then a snake is crawling on the ground, and she becomes so much afraid and runs back and jumps in Krishna's lap. So even the snakes are serving in Vrindavan, Krishna's pastimes. So how important it is, therefore, to get to Vrindavan, to get to the holy Dham, to take shelter of the Dham, to take shelter of the residence of the Dham. And if we can't be in the Dham physically, then what should we do? We should live there within our mind. We should hear about the Dham, hear about the activities and pastimes that go on in the Dham, and always meditate in that way. Then our stay within this world will not be so troublesome. Otherwise, to live in Dallas, Texas is a very horrible thing. Who wants to live in Dallas, Texas? We want to be in Vrindavan. So we have to learn the art of being in Vrindavan while being in Dallas, Texas. And therefore, we have made this temple in such a way that you can always be in Vrindavan. When Satsarupa Maharaj came here and gave this lecture the first time he saw this, he said, it's impossible to sit in this temple room and not speak about Vrindavan. Because he saw such nice pictures on the walls, all of Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. So if you are feeling dry, if you are feeling harassed by the material energy, right, what should you do?
Come here.
Yes, come in this temple room, tell the pujari to turn on the fountain. You see, hear the bubbling sound of the brook and see Sri Sri Radha Kalachandji and just know, now I am in Vrindavan. And then, when you feel that you're in Vrindavan consciousness, what should you do, Bhrigapati?
Go out on Sankirtan.
And give Vrindavan to all the conditioned souls. Go out on Sankirtan, and if you're in that mood on Sankirtan, what will happen? Everyone will take a book. This is the real secret to book distribution. Krishna consciousness. There's no other formula. You want to be a successful preacher? Now you can go, Andrew. No. I just wanted to have you here so I remembered to talk about book distribution. So, this is how we become empowered to do Sankirtan. You see? We become empowered to do Sankirtan by being in Vrindavan consciousness. When a devotee feels happy and ecstatic in Krishna consciousness, naturally he wants to share it with others. Naturally. That's the mood of Lord Chaitanya Audarya. Yesterday we were talking about the difference between Gaura Prem. One of the differences is that Gaura Prem, without consideration, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to distribute Krishna consciousness. He did not make any distinction who was fit and who was not fit. So when you are full of Krishna consciousness, you really begin to see all living entities have a connection with Krishna. Everyone. Only some remember it and others don't. And fortunately, here we have a chance. We're in. Why are we glad to be in Dallas, Texas now? Because in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his mood of preaching, we get unlimited opportunities for service. Just like I was speaking with Bhurijan Prabhu by telephone. He was in Vrindavan and he said, you're so lucky because you're in such a safe position being in the West preaching. He said, you preach, 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 and I will teach, teach, teach. Because he's a teacher. He said, you're in such a fortunate position to be in the West and doing engagement and preaching work. Because this is the best qualification for entering Vrindavan. So everyone should be a preacher. What is our family line? Our family line is preaching. And what is our family business? Book distribution. So that means everyone here should be a preacher. Not that you say, well, I'm a cook, or well, I'm a pujari, or well, I'm a mother, or well, I'm this or that. You may be all of these things, but when there's the time of war, everyone knows how to fire the gun. If you go to a place like where? To Yugoslavia, right? I guarantee you everyone there knows how to fire a gun. So you all think it's peacetime. That is your ignorance. You think that it is peacetime, but it is not peacetime. Gadadhar Prabhu has written a very good call to arms, battle call to arms. in which he tells everyone, he's going to send this letter out to all of our congregation, telling them there's a big war going on, and it's, you know, we're, if we don't start shooting away, we're going to be overcome by the enemy. And that is a fact. There is a war. Maya is gradually encircling. She has, practically, we're in her kingdom. Somehow, you know, we're like a Trojan horse. We have gotten in, and we got this temple established. But what is this temple supposed to be? Just a shelter for us? What did Prabhupada call the temples, Nandini? What did Prabhupada call the temples?
A base.
A military base. He said, these temples are the places where you land your planes, load up the bombs, and go up in the air and drop and bomb the cities out. What are the bombs? The books. These are the places where you're supposed to drive in, load up, and take off again. It's not just the place where we eat and sleep. Of course, the army can only move on its belly, so you have a chance to eat and sleep. But every man, woman, and child should do some preaching. Why? Because preaching is what? It's the essence. What does essence mean? What does essence mean to Maldudi? From essential. It is essential. As something, everything else, compared to what is the opposite of being essential? What's the opposite word to essential? Antonym of essential. Superfluous. Right? So, what is the essence of spiritual life, Prabhupada said? Preaching. So if you're not engaged in preaching, of course you can say, I'm doing backup to the preaching. I'm supporting the preachers. That's all right. But the preaching itself gives taste. One who has life, he can preach. It gives transcendental life. When you finish giving someone a book, or when you finish preaching to someone, you get enlivened in a way that you can never feel unless you're very advanced. I have to admit, if you're very advanced, you could feel the same ecstasy from all other activities, because they're all absolute. But in our limited condition, it seems to us that a sweet ball is special, right? You can eat a whole dinner, but you have to admit that if you've got a gulab jamun on your plate, a really well-made gulab jamun, right? You could have, you know, what? You could have three sabjis. You could even have some eggplant parmesan on your plate. But if you have a gulab jamun that's, you know how they are, when they get golden and brown and they're almost sweating, they start sweating. You know how the juice comes out of the pores of the gulab jamun and it's like sweating and it's sitting there, really big, juicy one. I want to see what you'll be thinking of the whole meal. The whole meal you'll be thinking, at the end, I'm going to eat this gulab jamun. So still, although there's great taste in all the other items on the plate, that gulab jamun is special. Similarly, preaching is like that, a very fat, juicy gulab jamun. You get some taste from preaching and it is spectacular. So everyone should put themselves in a position to do some preaching. Never mind what it is. You figure out some way to go on the front line. What is the advantage of being on the front lines? Prabhupada said, you what? Special facility is given to those on the front line. What is the facility we're looking for? In one word, say it, Vinod Mani.
Mercy.
We're looking for mercy. So you see, those on the front line get special mercy. So if you put yourself onto the front line, Krishna will give you mercy. You'll get mercy. So you can overcome these modes of material nature if you do this. So, after it all, Aditi is saying, you know, please be specially kind to me and my kids. I don't know how we got back to that, but that's where she's at right now. And her guru will have to deal with her. You know, after all, this, if she had heard this lecture, maybe she would have thought something different. But he will give her the same lecture, gradually, verse by verse. But at this point, she's still saying, you know, you should favor your kids and me over the others, because we're devotees. Which is true. We do get some special favor. So, we will stop here. Ask if anyone has any comments or questions. Good. No. Oh, yes, good eye. I thought I would get away with it, but... Okay.
Since we discussed the point of food distribution, if we somehow do follow-up book distribution.
Follow-up book distribution.
So, I discussed a little bit with Radha Vinod Prabhu.
Huh.
He said we're going to do some house-to-house book distribution where we can get the phone numbers and follow-up.
Right.
So if we...
I'll give what you're saying. We are doing this in Houston. Gadadhar Prabhu says that the best thing will be for book distribution, the goal of it is to get people to start studying Prabhupada's books, meeting together, reading these books, and of course they'll gradually become devotees and they themselves will start preaching also. So one system we have developed in Houston, at least we're trying to, and we could do here, is that one of the ways we think about book distribution is that we center the book distribution in a particular area on a given day or days, and we try to find a house in that area where we can hold an evening program so that all of the, you know, along with the books, we give everybody an invitation to, we say, right in your neighborhood, we are holding an evening program. Of course, the problem is it's not easy to find spots to distribute the books in, but this would facilitate the idea that you're talking about. This is the way to do it. You have to have different Namhat programs in different parts of the greater Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex. And when you distribute books in that area, you know the address of the place where we're going to hold that program. And then everybody in that area gets these. And actually it works. One or two people start to come and gradually it builds up. But we will take this into consideration. Let us stop here today. I hope everybody, today is good, you know, Saturday, right? It's a good Saturday. Why is it good? Because the weather is clear, fair, and people are probably very eager to get books. You see, if you just get some books out of our book room, you'll find that different people's names have already been written on these books. Every book has somebody's name on it. So you just take the books and look carefully and you'll see the person's name, and then you'll go out and say, you know, it's amazing. What's your name? You ask the person. They say, that's amazing. This book's got your name on it here. They say, where is it written? I say, well, I'll write it for you. now it is yours. Now you have to take it because I can't sell it to anyone else. I'm sure Krishna will give you many techniques for distributing. But Prabhupada said, by hook or crook, somehow distribute the books. Jai. Sankirtan Yajna Ki Jai.